thing is, so we were in the first Mishnah, and we had one more thing left in the first Mishnah. Okay, so right, because it said Shlosh Dvarim, Hey Mama Shlosh Dvarim, Hava Masunim B'Din that we did Hamidu Tamidim Harbe. We didn't do that, but the last one that I want to take a look at is Asu Siyag LaTorah. Okay, so Asu Siyag LaTorah is the Durbanos, okay, Gzeros and Takanos that the Chachamim make to protect the Doraisa. Okay, so like Rashi says, Klomar Asu Mishmeres LeMishmato Kedei Shelo Yavo Lidei Issa Shatara. You shouldn't come to an Isser Torah, so they made Durbanos to protect you from being over the Doraisa. Okay. So the thing is, but the only question you could ask is that isn't that, I don't know if it's circular reasoning, but isn't it some kind of, I have to think of what kind of fallacy it would be, but I guess circular reasoning. Because you're saying you're going to enact laws to protect laws.
Mm, right.
In other words, if the people aren't keeping the laws, so then how is the laws going to add anything? Mm. And if they are keeping the laws, so they'll keep those laws, they'll keep the derisas.
Mm. Can't have a law to keep the system. That should be an axiom in any...
You're making a law to protect the law, right. In other words, if some amanasho, do people respect the law, so you already have a law. And if they're not keeping the law, so then you're just giving them more laws that they won't keep.
Right. Like, what's the whole? You mean what's the whole point of Gzera in general?
What's the whole point of Gzera in general? Yeah.
So it's like a logically, you're both 100% right, but like it's a practical thing. Yeah. It's a human. It's a thing that shows like. That Chazal understood human nature, you know?
Okay. Okay.
That, unless something is, like, first things first, like, once, unless something's mandated, it's very hard to enforce it, you know?
Right.
And then, if, like, if somebody thinks that, like, for example, say I think I have a test on, say my professor says, okay, you have a test on Monday.
Okay.
Even though the test is really on Tuesday, like, he assures that people will study for it, you know, on Monday. I don't know, that's a bad example. But you hear what I'm saying? Like, it's a practical thing.
It's a practical thing, right.
It's a...
In other words, right.
I don't know how to, like, say it better yet, but...
No, so if you have a test on Tuesday... And people will not...
If he says, oh, study for Tuesday, maybe not everyone will study. But if he says study for Monday, everyone will certainly be ready by Tuesday.
By Tuesday, okay. Okay.
That's what I was trying to say.
Right, that's good. So now, what you're saying is like this. What you're saying is that they, it's true. They may violate this law, right? But it's better that they'll... violate a derbanan than a deraisa. And that's what you're saying is that if the deadline is Tuesday, so you're going to have certain people breaking that deadline, right? But if the deadline is Monday, so then they may break Monday's deadline, but then they'll be
ready by Tuesday,
right?
Yeah, but who's to say that they're not going to break Tuesday's deadline if they're already breaking Monday's deadline?
Right. That's right. Well, I guess the thing is, I mean, you have to say, if who are we trying to protect here?
Mm-hmm.
As if we're trying to, we're not trying to protect a person that's mazed, a person that intentionally wants to break the system. That's not what the Durbanos are designed for.
Right.
Right. So they're designed for a person that's lackadaisical.
Lackadaisical?
Lackadaisical.
You never heard that one before? Yeah, meaning like lazy.
Lazy.
It's a good word.
It's a fancy word for
lazy. No, it's a great word.
Right.
Right. So it's not for that guy.
It's not for the intentional violator. Mm. It's for the person that's not so careful. So, okay. So that's possible. In other words, that the derisa, they wanted to protect the derisas, so the derbonons, they set up derbons, yeah.
Also, I feel like part of it is to, like, not be mezake people, but to be, like, if a guy is over a derbonon, he'll get, like, a less severe consequence, whereas...
Right.
Opposed to if he's over at the, and that consequence is most likely going to drive him away from that, you know, back to, like, you know, properly doing things. But if he does it, like, if he's over at Doraisa, like, those come with much more severe consequences.
Right.
And so...
Right, okay.
This is to, as a, it's a protection thing.
It's a protection for a person that will violate accidentally, that's not careful.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but I'd just like to understand that, could we answer the question by showing not that the person will violate? In other words, that's a possibility. What you're saying is a possibility, but of course it involves that they're not saving a person from violation, they're just reducing the violation, right? But is it possible that that they're making the law in a way that saves a person from violation?
What do you mean?
In other words, the way we're working it out now, the person's going to violate. The only thing is, he'll violate a lesser. Better he should violate a lesser violation than a greater one, right? Okay, but then they're not protecting the Torah in the sense of preventing a person from violating. They're just shifting the violation from deraisa to derbanan. Okay, but it would be nice if we could show that the chachamim, that the purpose of the derbanans is to protect a person from violation altogether.
How would that be?
That's the question. How would that be?
How would a law do that?
That's right. How would a law
do that? Like, a person could do that by teaching somebody, but, like, how would a law...
How
would the enforcement of a law,
right,
implement that?
Well, the thing is like this. You see, the thing is that there's a difference between the way derisas are set up and the way a derisa is and a derbana. So, like, I'll give you an example. Like, why does a person sometimes violate derisa? Because deraisa is really a conceptual, it's a system that's based on a conceptual understanding of the law. Like, for instance, you have a halacha of you're not allowed to cook milk and meat, bas b'chalav, right? So the halacha is, it's only bishul, it's only if it's eish. Now let's say I take a meat and cheese and I put it in a microwave. No problem? You can have a cheeseburger, right? So the deraisa, why is that? Because practically it doesn't make sense. Practically you have the same food and it's cooked, right? But the reason is because when the Torah gave halacha, it had to be based on a logical system, on a conceptual system where everything has a definition. Now the question is, what's the definition of cooking? You have to have a set definition. So the Torah said eish. Okay? Now eish is a chemical fire. Okay? So therefore, if I use the sun or I use radiation, it might look like cooking. Practically, it may have the same effect. You see, but in terms of the definition of bishul, it's not bishul. Okay? So the deraisa system is a system that's formulated conceptually. Okay? For a chacham. A chacham would be able to keep the system, no problem. He'd understand it totally, and he'd be able to keep it 100%. But the problem is that a conceptual system can't be kept that well by a person that doesn't have the knowledge. Okay, because a person that doesn't have the knowledge operates with practicality. Okay, he operates by his senses. So he sees this is cooked, that's cooked. He'll eat a cheeseburger from the microwave, and then after a while he'll start to get the feeling that the cheeseburger's okay, and he'll won't know the difference between microwave and cooking. He'll cook one. Okay? So therefore, a person that doesn't have the knowledge, the derais is a very difficult system to keep. Okay? So the derabonans were really made to fill that gap. The derabonans were made in a practical, with a practical system. You see, so they say, bishul is anything that results in cooking. We don't care, aish, non-aish, you want to cook with the sun, you want to cook microwave, that's cooking. Okay, so that kind of system is a consistent, it has practical consistency. That's what the average person needs. You see? So that's why it's not really a tarte de sorcery to say a law can protect another law, because it's a different type of law. You see, a conceptual law wouldn't be able to protect the conceptual law, but a practical law could protect the conceptual law. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Rabban did, really. They converted the system from conceptual to practical. Well, a person can relate to it, and they'll be able to keep it.
Mm-hmm. So I do understand. That's very clear, and it makes a lot of sense as to answer the question. But then, how come? What's the benefit of the Torah of the Doraisa being conceptual law? Why didn't it just be practical? It seems more practical for right. it to be right. that, you know, like it seems like this system kind of demands that, and due to human nature, it seems like that was bound to happen anyway. Like, what's the Torah doing then? What
sure.
it's like it's almost as if it's a necessity for the Torah to be lacking, like it's on purpose lacking. It's weird. It doesn't make sense.
Why do you have those two layers? Why didn't the race just create a practical system?
Right, because it's not strictly given to Chachamim; it's given to a mass of people, and this is necessary.
That's right.
This practical aspect.
That's right.
So what's going on? Why did they do that?
Why did they do that? Right. Be more practical to do it when Chachamim did it.
Right. Is there a benefit to doing it this way?
Right, yeah.
I just wonder if you could, like, maybe at least a step to maybe answer that question. I remember someone once asked Rebbe, we were talking about Kibbutz Avayim, sure, and someone asked, like, it's impossible to keep it. I was like, no way, I think that possible to keep it in the perfect way. Everyone's going to violate it. Right. So I remember someone asked sure, like, what? So why was it done that way? So he said something to the effect of that it's better to have everything for the Torah to put down, like, I guess, I don't remember the term he used, like the universal, or the ideal, maybe, you know, it'd be better to have people be, like, avaryanim, and the Torah is going to just set forth the ideal, rather than, I guess, compromise. Take a more practical approach, what?
Like a compromised ideal?
Like people can't do it, so the Torah is going to have a different way of setting it forth. I'm just wondering if there's a similar idea here, like maybe like the Torah is really just the Torah's purpose is lacking because it is only saying, so to speak, because it's just saying it in the most like maybe ideal conceptual terms,
right,
or something like that,
right?
But that's like it has a different role, sort of, the Torah than that.
That's good, right?
I'm just wondering if it's maybe you could apply similar kind of
right. That's a good answer. In other words, what the Torah did was the Torah created an ideal system and then created another system to allow you to implement it. You see, but rather than create a distorted system, a system that intrinsically is not ideal, is a compromise, you know, and that's the only model you have. Rather than do that, they created the ideal, so a person knows what the perfect system is, and gave you now a second method to implement it.
Well, what's the benefit of having the ideal system if you're never going to follow it anyway?
Because I guess he's saying that it's better to know the truth and not be able to keep it than not.
Mm. Right. There's like an ideal system that's the way the Torah works, and that's good. But that's good knowledge. Like
that's right. Right. It's better for a person to be in conflict, not be able to keep it, but know know what the ideal is, than not to be in conflict, be able to keep it, but what he's keeping is a watered down, is not a real, is a watered down system. That's what he's saying. That's right. Right, this really is the perfect way it should be. So you should have that as a model. And now for implementation, we can introduce things to protect that. But if it was created originally with the implementation, then that system would be an imperfect system. Because you'd study the system and you'd say, this doesn't really appeal to, this is the formulations, the ideas aren't correct. The ideas are not sharp.
Right. I guess when you have practicality involved, that takes away from the definitions, really?
Right. That's right.
Can you give me an example?
Let's see. We just had an example. Actually, somebody mentioned to me that Rebbe... we had that thing in Sukkah, actually. I don't know if I can remember the case. But they had a case with a good osik and the lava. What was the thing we did this week? Were you there in...
Shir?
In Shir in...
on Shir Yitzhak?
What Rebbe did, the last thing he did in Sukkah...
It was the steer in the Mishnah Berurah about Gadasik and Lavan.
Oh, Gadasik and Lavan.
That you can't do both. There's two. You can't do halacha Moshe Mishnah is according to some.
The case was that you had Dofen Akuma and Lavan that right. You couldn't do, but then the Shulchan Aruch passed that you could do Gadasik and Lavan.
Oh, right. I think, yeah, I don't know. There was something there, but let me just think if I can think of a different example. Let's say I have to think give me a good example.
What are you looking for an example
of? I'm not really sure I get how just because it's practical it's going to lack in the definition now. Just because it's practical doesn't really appeal to me that automatically that becomes less defined.
Why can't you say the example you said about the cheeseburger? Then you don't have like a clear definition of cooking if you have...
Well, I mean, but the thing is when the Devarim came along, right, they redefined Bishul, so they have to have a definition also. They can't just say, well, we're going to just make a... You know what I mean? They have a definition also. So their definition is the process of cooking.
Right. That's...
And it's not dependent on the source. Right. It's the process.
Listen, so what are they doing then? They're changing the definition. I mean, the Torah has Bishul. One definition, and Rabban have a different definition?
Right, so they say Bishul, right, the rice of Bishul is Esh. Right, but they're saying, no, in Rabban, Bishul is the process. So now it's Bishul and Rabban. They're creating a new Bishul.
So but what would they say? Would they say that that's not as... sharp of a definition, or what? Like, what is what kind of definition? I mean, like, so now there's it sounds like it's sort of machlokas about how to define Bishul between the Rabbanan and the Torah. I mean, that doesn't sound.
No, I'm not saying it's not sharp. I'm just saying that the Torah wanted a certain. You see, it could be the Torah wanted. I don't know. I have to think about it, but I mean, the Torah definitely wanted a certain halacha to be in place.
Mm-hmm.
And practicality was not part of the consideration.
Right.
You know what I mean? They want a certain halacha to be in place, and for a chacham, this would be sufficient. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to say when God gave the Torah, he gave the, this is the best way that it should be formulated.
Right.
The chachamim came along because of practical considerations.
Oh, I see.
So I don't say it's not as... it's the ideas of Chama Creator ideas still. I mean, they're just as good as the Dereises. Mm-hmm. But I guess a system as a whole, they would these concepts would be superfluous.
Right. It's not an ideal formulation. Not that it's a bad formulation.
No, it's a bad formulation, right? It's just it was made in a way that would satisfy the practical. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'd say it's a worse. On the contrary, it's. You could be greater, now you have more ideas to go into. But I'm just saying that the Torah gave it just simply the exact system a guy would need to perfect a guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And sometimes additional things, it could be made with a very good formulation, but it's not necessary for a person who's on a high level would need those things. On the contrary, a person on a high level, he could keep the ideas, all the ideas of Bas B'Chalav, and be able to have the enjoyment of Bas B'Chalav. Maybe that's what the Torah wanted. The Torah wanted the person should be able to have a cheeseburger, but only using his intellect how to differentiate between the kosher cheeseburger and the treif one. I mean, maybe that would be the perfect system for a person that's on the ideal level. They shouldn't have to restrict himself, say, well, I'm not going to eat anything because I can't differentiate. That's not really the highest level of man. The highest level of man is that there's no taboo here. There's nothing wrong with the cheeseburger. So now you have to use your chachma to decide whether it's mutter or asr, right? But the chachamim took that away because they saw that people are not on that level. You see, but the Torah is not just made. See, the Torah is not made for the person on the highest level alone, and it's also not made. Conversely, the Torah is not made exclusively for the person on the lower level. It's made really to take a person from the lower to the higher. So, but it has to work for the person on the lower level, and the system in terms of the derises is there for a person on a higher level. So you can't really have either, it's not either or. If you only have the practical system, then it's not a system that a chacham could gain from. And if you only have the system of chachma, then it's not a system that the person on a lower level to gain from. Mm-hmm. So that's why the gzeros together with the derisos fulfill both needs. It fulfills the need of the chacham, and it satisfies the need of the person that's starting out. That's that. Yeah.
I want to clarify. So you're saying really the Rabbanan system. Really, we're like there's two tracks going on. Is that right? In other words, like the Rabbanan are creating a different system whose goal is more of a practical goal.
That's right.
So their definitions of things will, how they define, let's say, Bishul, will take that into consideration, and there'll be a different definition than maybe what you would find in a Daraisa.
That's right.
But this I want to clarify. So then, in a vacuum, okay, so to speak, like is the definition, the Derabun definition of Bishul and the Derais definition of Bishul, in a sense, equally valid, but they're just running on different tracks, so they chose different things?
Well, the Derabun is really an extension. They just enlarge the definition of the Deraisa. Because the Deraisa said Bishul is only through Eish. Now, Chaim said Bishul is even in any way. It's the process even without the Eish.
That's a different definition of Bishul. That's not just adding more.
Well, no, because the Deraisa is the process that emanates from Eish. And the Derabanan, they extended it.
Well, but that's what Joey's saying. Like, the Derabanan is saying, like, the Deraisa is saying, oh, it's the process of this, of preparing food, like, things like this. But then the Derabanan is dealing with the consequence, the product
that's right.
Is made.
That's so right. But they're using the same category of the Deraisa. They're just changing the definition. In other words, they're using the category of Bishul. They're not making, you know what I mean? They're extending the idea of Bishul. Mm-hmm. The Deraisa idea of Bishul is restricted to one case. And the Chachamim are enlarging that to include many cases.
Yeah, but they can only do that by changing the definition, no?
What's that?
They can only do that.
You have to make a change
in
the definition. If you don't make a change in the definition, then nothing's changed. Right.
So I guess what I'm asking is, in other words, let's say you had a Mishnah and you had you know, one Tana said it was, you know, Bishalev is just Aish, you know?
Right.
And you had a different Tana that said it was Bishal that we have, like, for Darbana or whatever,
right,
the process. So, I just lost my train of thought. Are these equally valid svaras? I mean, so, what was I going to say?
See, but one appeals more. One creates a consistent halacha. It creates consistency. The other creates inconsistency to the observer, because the deraisa is inconsistent, because on one hand I can have a cheeseburger, on the other hand I can't. So which one is it? But the Dervan, you can have a cheeseburger. It's consistent. In terms of practicality, it's consistent. So that's why the Dervanan came along. Theoretically, in terms of Svara, so it's just a different definition. No difference there.
No, see? One is better than that. I would think that the Torah definition would be the ideal definition.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying that one is the best as far as you could say either way, but one appeals more to the practical and one appeals more just purely conceptual. Okay. So that's why the derisa, a derbana could protect a derisa, because it's easier to keep. Okay. But not that the svaras are better or worse. I didn't mean conceptual, that the Durban's not conceptual. The Durban's conceptual too. But the only thing is, the concepts that the Durban introduce are ones that give the halacha practical consistency. But in svara, same thing.
Uh-huh.
It's just conceptual. Not, they didn't create a non-conceptual system. That's not what I mean by conceptual. I mean that it results in a practical, in consistent practicality.
Okay, and the Doraisa one is catered for the goal of the ideal, a person in, I guess, an ideal state.
Right, to high level, right, that's right. High level person, it's easier for him to keep the Doraisa.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So someone who's probably who's keeping the Rabbana, I mean, you know, so everyone, but it's important to know then the difference, probably be helpful. To always know the difference, which thing is the Rabbana and which thing is the Raisa, because it would be good to know the ideal system, the conceptual system that's just on a track of just like perfection, and then the other one that's on the track of the practical. Right? Would that be fair to say that it's...
I'm not sure. Okay. So that's... Right? Okay. There's one more thing, an interesting thing in the Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay. So I don't know, I was looking through it and it's a little bit, there's some strange thing here. Okay. Take a look. He says, Asu siyag l'tara, shenemar ushmartam es mishmarti. Asu mishmeres l'mishmarti. Okay. And he says this, v'asiyag hu davar gadol umushubach. Siyag is a great thing. Okay. Lasos gader lemitzvos, to make a gader, fence around the mitzvos. Leval yuchal liyakashu bohem hayari es dvar Hashem, that a person that fears the word of God won't stumble. Okay, lechein hamakayim divrei chacham. Any person that's mekayim the words of the chachamim, shehem siyagim mina mitzvos shel Torah, that are fences around the mitzvos shel Torah. Chibev hayira mi misha osa mitzvah la'atzma, has greater yira. His yira is more chibev, like more beloved, right? Than the person that just does the mitzvah. Well, I mean, of course, I mean, the person that does the mitzvah, I mean, and doesn't keep derbanans, I mean, so he has no yiras Hashem.
Isn't that a deraisa too?
Right. Exactly. So what are you comparing? You're comparing to a guy that keeps the derbanan versus the guy that keeps the deraisa? I mean, well, the guy that's keeping the derbanan, is he keeping deraisas too, or he's only keeping derbanas? I mean, right? So he's keeping deraisas too. So the guy that's keeping the deraisa, you're comparing him to the guy that's keeping deraisa. If he's not keeping the derbanan, so then obviously, I mean, He's not keeping Dharvanans. He's not even keeping the Torah. Right? Then he says, Ki ein asiyas a mitzvah hochach al yira. He says, keeping mitzvahs is not a proof or a demonstration of fear, kamo hashomer l'siyadim, as much as the person that keeps the siyag. Okay, I mean, that's true. That's true. I mean, a person that keeps the siyag, it shows he's more afraid of the mitzvahs, of breaking the mitzvah, right, than a person that just keeps the mitzvah. That's true. But I mean, a person that just keeps the mitzvah, you could say that he also doesn't want to break the mitzvah. I mean, it's just a strange comparison, because the person that's keeping the mitzvah also has to keep... In other words, a person that's keeping the mitzvah is not keeping the darbanans. So you're right, he's not really afraid, but he's really breaking... He's really encroaching on the system. I mean, he's breaking the system. Okay, so I don't know. It's right? Then he says, I guess. He says, it's not a demonstration for fear. Shehu nizhar mitchila shelo yava lidei pshia. He is careful to begin with not to be poshea. Ach ha'ose ha'mitzvah ve'enu mekayim ha'siyag. A person that does the mitzvah and doesn't keep the siyag. Mare lanu, he shows to us, ki'im yetiv be'enav lasos mitzvah, even though he thinks it's good to keep mitzvos. Al yera be'enav im yifshaba. He's not that upset if he makes a mistake. V'lifretz peretz l'chosh. He doesn't care about breaking down the wall. Peretz gadar yishkenu nachosh. And the Chazal say, a person that breaks down the fence, that doesn't keep the drabanans, he'll be bit by a snake. Okay? So, I don't know. It's just, it's something, right? He says, even though the person who keeps the derisive thinks it's very good to keep the mitzvahs, but he's not so afraid if he breaks it. I mean, I don't know.
Does it have to be?
Yeah, I mean, does it have to be? He's not so afraid if he breaks it? No, maybe he really is very, wants to keep it, and he doesn't think he's going to break it. I mean, okay. He says like this, but then, okay, so, you know, maybe it's not such a strong kasher. You'll say, no, a guy who really is afraid will keep the gedara. Okay, fine. But then listen to what he says. He says, Hine ki divrei chachamim zichronim levracha heim yesodos ve'ilanos liyiras shemayim. They are the foundations and the trees of yiras shemayim. Shehu ikar ha'olam v'yesod ha'mayla. This is the ikar olam, and this is the yesod of yiras shemayim. He says, v'chol ha'mitzvos kulan parparos eleha. And all of the mitzvos are all preambles just to yiras shemayim. He says, v'zehu sha'amu rabbeinu, rabbeinu zichronim levracha, b'midrash, ki tovim dodecha miyayin. Okay? Chavivim divrei chachamim miyeno shotara. The words of the chachamim are more chavav, more beloved than the wine of Torah. I mean,
that's a huge.
This is a huge.
It sounds like a.
You're saying
huge idea, yeah.
Right? That the words of the chachamim are more chavav than the yayin of Torah.
Isn't that from Shir Shir?
No,
it's a Shir Shem. It's Shir Shem Rava. So, whatever. I just wanted to understand. I mean, if he's saying a person is not keeping the Dabanan, so it's a Dabar Pasha. A person doesn't keep the Dabanan, so obviously he doesn't really care about Yiras Hashem. Well, what is the Chiddush here?
How is the yisod to the yira, right?
Are you comparing? I mean, how are you comparing? I mean, a guy only keeps the Torah. He says, okay, you're right. He has less yira Hashem because he doesn't really care about doing the Dabans. Yeah.
It's the chiddush here is that it sounds like we're saying almost that the Dabans are more important than the Deoraisas. But really, what's actually happening is that by showing, by giving so much, weight to the Derabans, we're really giving weight to the Deoraisas. We're really being Meshaber, the Deoraisas, by being, by putting the Derabans in such a lofty place.
Okay, that's good. That's a good approach. That's good.
I guess the Halameen's
gone. Right. By keeping the Derabanans, you're really showing the significance of the Deraisa. That's right. That's true. That's true. Yeah, he's saying by keeping the Derabanans, you're showing the significance of the Deraisas.
How?
Because, right? Because that's because the person is trying. Now, as you create a getter around something, he's showing the right the significance of this thing. Right?
Mm-hmm. You only protect something that matters.
You only protect something that matters.
Right?
So, okay, you're saying that's what it means, that the Derabanans are even more chaviv than the Deraisas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a hard transition to make.
That's a hard transition.
But it's kind of like a circular transition, because...
Right.
Because that is a Deraisa, no?
Well, okay, yeah, that's true. Yeah. But...
I mean, I don't know. Like,
forgetting about that for a second. Yeah, it's hard to... Right, we'll have to answer that separately. But it's a hard transition, because if you're saying the Derbanans are more important because they show how significant the Deraisas are, so the Derbanans then really are just a means to the Deraisas.
Yeah.
So you can never really say the Derbanan is more chaviv than the thing that it's the essence. It's protecting the essence. You can't say the protector is more chaviv than the thing it's protecting.
Right.
That's not... It might be showing... The fact that you're adding protection may be showing how significant that thing is.
Right.
Right? But then it still is a means to that thing.
Right, that's true. That's a really good point.
When we say chaviv, what are we talking... chaviv from whose perspective?
I guess us, from the people...
From the
B'nai Yisrael.
Person's perspective.
Yeah.
It would make sense because it's, it can't be, I don't know why.
It's hard, that's hard.
But, like, then it's like, the laws were given to us, like, the Deraisa isn't really, the Deraisa was, Hashem's, work being, Hashem's word being put into it. But, like, the laws was, man's reaction.
What do you mean, the Derbanans? You mean the Derbanans?
The Derbanans, yeah, that's what I meant. The Derbanans were man's response, and I don't know where I'm
going. Okay. Well, let me just tell you what I thought that maybe he means. Because he says, because at the end, he says that the Yira, he brings in, he says, Hey, Yisodos Milamas, Le Yira Shemaim, Shu Ikar Olam Yisod Hamayla, Yira Shemaim. And then he says, Chol Mitzvos Kulam Parparos Elehan. The mitzvahs themselves are only a preamble to Yiras Shemayim.
Mm.
So the thing is like this. I think maybe what it means is that a person could keep the mitzvahs in two ways. A person could keep the mitzvahs as an end in and of itself. You see, saying, I'm keeping the mitzvahs, this is, I'm helping God, or this is the thing. For me to engage myself in these performances, this is the ikkar. Just carrying out God's will, that is the ikkar. And somehow or other, it will bring me into favor with God, doing these performances. You see, he's clearly saying that the mitzvos, as we know, is really a means. You see, the mitzvos is not an end in and of itself. It's a means to Yiras Hashem, to a recognition of God. You see? So therefore, that's why it's difficult for a person to keep Derabanas. Because if I'm keeping the Deraisa, so then I'm doing what God told me to do. You see, that gives me a certain satisfaction. You see, but if I'm keeping the Derabanans, then what I'm saying is that really the whole purpose of the system is not the mitzvahs themselves, But the mitzvahs are a means to Yiras Shemayim. So Yiras Shemayim, that's already Durbanas. That's Durbanas, because Durbanas don't reflect Devar Hashem. The Durbanas were not, is not the mitzvahs that God gave us. It's the mitzvahs the man gave. You know what I mean? So by doing the Durbanas, you can't say, well, I'm doing the thing for its own sake. Because what are you doing? You're doing the mitzvahs Midravanam? That's not Devar Hashem. You see, a person is doing the mitzvahs for its own sake, he wants to feel he's doing Devar Hashem. This is what God told me to do, and this is what I'm doing. You know what I mean? But their bonds, that can't have the same significance in his mind as the deraisa. But if you say the mitzvahs are a means, really, to Yiras Hashem, then the derbanans could be more important than the deraisa. Because without the derbanans, the whole system could break down, and then you won't have Yiras Hashem. And that's really the purpose of everything, is a recognition of God. So depending on the door, you could have a door where the derbanans are more important than the deraisas. You see, because without the derbanans, the whole system will fall apart.
Because it's all for Yiras Hashem.
It's really for the sake of Yiras Hashem. That's really the purpose of the mitzvahs. And a person that has that idea in mind, so he's just as careful to keep the derbanans. See? Because it's just a means to recognition of God.
So, right, so the premise that we had before that to say that the derbanans are only a means to the deoraisa, so how could you say that the means is going to have a greater value? That's
right.
Incorrect, because it's not a means to the deoraisas. Both of them, the derbanans and the mitzvahs, are a means to something greater, which is Yiras Hashem.
That's right.
But why is it more?
So if you say, right, that's very good. That's very good. If you say it's a means, and the end is the mitzvos, so how can you say the means is greater than the end? That's crazy. But if you say they are both a means to Yiras Hashem, now, so then it depends.
Right. So why is it more?
Why is it more? I think it just means it's more in the sense that a person that recognizes that the mitzvahs are a means to Yiras Hashem, he will value the derabonans, you see, on this as much as the deraisa. You see, in other words, I think it's more in the sense that the existence of the derabonans brings to mind that idea that the mitzvahs are means. And the negation of a derabonan, you see, is positing the opposite. That no, the mitzvahs are the essence. And derbanans, okay, maybe you need them, maybe you don't, but the essence is mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's what it means in the derbanan is more chavav. It means that idea that initiated that necessitates the need for derbanans, that idea is the real idea that's chavav. Mm-hmm. The idea that everything's a means to Yiras Hashem. I think that's what it means, it's more chavav.
That's good.
And that's also, I'm wondering, I mean, I don't know, I just thought about this, but it always struck me a little strange why it says Mishmeres L'Mishmarto. What does that mean? It's a watch to a watch. I mean, what do you mean?
What is?
Because the puzzle says Mishmeres L'Mishmarto. that you have to create a watch, a guard around the guard. What do you mean a guard around a guard? I mean, it should be Mishmeres L'Torasi.
Right.
Why L'Mishmarto? So now, it's from what we're saying, it's exact, that it means everything is really a mishmeres. It's a means to Yiras Hashem, to recognition of God. The Torah is also mishmarto, it means the Torah leads you to me. The Torah itself is a means. That's what it means. That's why I call the Torah mishmarto. It's not an ikker. It doesn't stand on its own. It's only there because recognition of God, because of Hashem. Hashem is the only intrinsic value. Yeah. Right? I think that's...
Yeah, it's very good.
That's what he said.
On a basic level, though, how would you define your Shemayim, just on a basic level? Like, I'm sure...
Recognition of the reality of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to ask that question also. What's the time of Yiras And say it's supposed to have a...
I don't really know.
Right, I think it just means the fact that a person has a recognition of the source of reality.
That's the era?
That's the era.
More than, let's say, Ava?
I see, I don't know if he means era versus Ava, but he means the thing that causes a person to be... Well, maybe he's saying era because the thing that causes a person to hesitate over the idea of breaking a system, because he has a recognition that there's a source behind the system, a source of reality, and he can't break it. That's the initial, you know, that's the reaction to the recognition of the source of reality. They have a certain kind of awe. These laws have a certain kind of significance because they stem from a source of reality. But it's not the law itself. It's where the law emanates from. That's the ikkar.
He just started thinking also, so he's, I think I know maybe, but the, what he was saying before about like if you, the person who just wants to keep the Torah will be, I guess, more likely to love a lead Ipshia.
Yeah.
And that would...
Well, see, that's very good. That's very obvious. He says the Chazal say in Hashanu. Yeah, how's it go? Yeshchenu Nachash. That he'll be bitten by a snake. So that's, in other words, that's the worst thing, really. In other words, because he's saying, you know, also I saw in the Gemara, I think it was in Erevin, maybe I could bring it next time, where the Gemara says that if a person, that the derises are this kal and chomer. There's derises that are severe, derises that are light. But their banans, yichai misa, if you can't break it to a banan. The banans are all chomer.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and also Avery says if a person breaks the Durban, he should be killed by a snake. And you go, it's Durban. I mean, okay, look, what about the Derisa? You know what I mean? So you see, that's the concept. That if you tell me it's a means to the Derisa is the Ikkar and this is the means, so then the whole thing is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You tell me the means is more significant than the Ikkar, but that's what he's saying. It's saying that no, if a person breaks the Darbanon, it means that he does the mitzvahs are not a means to him. The mitzvahs are the ikkar, not Yiras Hashem. That's already a total distortion.
So why are you more likely to come to Pshia?
Oh, if the person...
right, isn't that what he said? The person that just keeps the mitzvahs?
Oh, right. I'm coming to Vichom Hashem Siyag Min Mitzvahs. Oh, very good. Because because really you could learn it. It's like a warning track, you know, it keeps you away. If you keep the Durbans, you'll stay further away from the Derisa. But no, you could say, according to what we're saying, is you keep a Durbanan, that shows that you have a true recognition. Why are you keeping the Durbanan? Because you have recognition from where these mitzvahs emanate. And that's why to you a Durbanan is just as significant as the Derisa. If a person has that recognition, that's his relationship to the mitzvahs. He can't break the mitzvahs. It's impossible. If his relationship to the mitzvahs is one of taboo, are these things I got to treif, can't treif. It's an ikkar. You see, so then that can go away because another motion comes and says, oh, I got to treif. You know what I mean? But if it's Yiras Hashem, that's why you can't eat treif. It's not the treif itself. It's the idea of where that mitzvah emanates from. You see, that already, that's a different story. You're not going to have any emotion coming in and knocking that one off so easy. You know what I mean? That's already a realistic concept. A person that keeps the Durbanan is operating with a realistic concept. That is a solid thing. That he's not veering off from so quickly. Yeah, because the truth is he could have just stopped there and said that the person keeps the Durbanans, he's protected from the Derisas because he's further away. What do you need this whole thing? Yiras Hashem, you know, this is, you know, this is more Chaviv. What do you need that whole thing? You just say, a person that only keeps the Derisas, he's not that worried about breaking it. But if a person builds up a fence, that means that he really is trying to protect himself initially. So that's it. It's a practical thing. Makes sense. What's this? I mean, but But he's saying more than that. He's saying because if a person builds a fence, it means he realizes that the mitzvahs, they're not, it's not just a question of the mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. It's where it, where the mitzvahs emanate from. That already is a solid idea. It's realistic.
That's good.
I was just wondering also, it's interesting that the pasuk said the Yena Shel Torah.
Yeah.
I was just wondering why that terminology, right. Maybe according to what you're saying, I mean, yayin is a little bit of a, like an attractive kind of thing that has a pitfall.
Sorry, I didn't have my wallet. Sorry. Yayin.
I'm just wondering why obviously the words of Torah more so than the yayin of Torah.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, you mean why didn't I say Torah? Yeah.
Well, the words of the Chachamim versus the Yayin of Torah. Like,
yeah.
There should be the mitzvah of Torah.
That's true.
A little bit in line with what you're saying. Maybe the wine is like this approach to the approach that you're talking about to Torah of like taboo and all that is emotionally very satisfying in a certain way, but it has obviously a danger.
Right.
I'm wondering if that's like, I don't know.
I mean, Yayin is like sort of like an emotional type of.
Yeah, it's object. Like a, yeah, which has significant danger associated with it. It's like yain, I know this pesukim that yain like with tirosh and tirosh or something, like the whole like,
right.
I don't know. I'm just
I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, I know it also, but I'm not sure. But I think that idea is there. You know, the yiras, because he does say the mitzvahs is a preparis to the yiras. Yes, Hashem. Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting, yeah. Yep. Shows you, right, and that's an important thing in Durbanans, because that shows you that whatever you need for Yiras Hashem, that's what's necessary. That's the Iker.
That's it, right.
You can expand the system for the sake of Yiras Hashem. You're not confined to this system. Because the essence is Yiras Hashem, not per se the mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good idea. Okay, so I guess one of these buttons, probably this one.